everybody back.
I want to encourage us to really consider something, and just as it's on my heart, and how we relate to these things, how we relate to the rules, if you will, I think is telling. You know, in the scripture it says, how can you say that you love God? What am I doing? Oh, sorry. I'm getting direction. But there's scripture that says, you say that you love God who is invisible, but you hate your brother who you can see. And I think there's a principle there that we need to consider. And I just want to invite us to just really, because this can become pejorative, right? This can become a feeling of being scolded. And I don't want that. I want us to really evaluate our hearts and why we gather and what we're up to in these moments. And what I mean by that is, I am as guilty as tuning out the voice of the Lord as anybody in this place. We're human. That's our first natural desire, is to hide and tune off the voice. We're being asked to wear a mask, right? By our government. We're being asked to create space and social distance and these sorts of things. This is not persecution, right? This is not, it's not hard for us to worship under these conditions. We are children of God, and we're to come boldly to His throne. And if we think it's difficult, I want to get that little meme, right, that says, you know, like, this is a mask, this is not persecution. But the dead animal that's thrown on the person, and then while they get thrown into the Colosseum, that would be persecution, right? And that person is called to worship with a dead animal on them as they're being attacked by a lion or whatever else being thrown at them. Now, this happens all over the world. This is discomfort. This is not persecution yet, okay? Am I saying that there is not persecution? There is persecution. I was just even thinking about that car going back and forth, who seemed to make an intentional U-turn going back. I don't know what his heart was or what his thought was, but I thought, you know what, that might be an opportunity for us to all go up and stand in the middle of the street if he kept going, right? Like, that could be an opportunity to make a stand for Christ if someone is impeding on our ability to worship, right? But this is not impeding on our ability to worship. It's just discomfortable. And what I want to invite us to, and I don't want to take your thunder, I want you to speak the word, okay? But I want to invite us to how we relate to simple things that involve authority. You say you follow God, but you can't obey a certain little thing, right? And I don't say that just for us. I want to encourage us, as it says in 1 Peter, we do it for a purpose. We want the gospel to be heard, not our opinions, not our whatever, our political agendas or whatever else. Listen to what God is calling you to do. And if God says to take off the mask and you're clear about that, that's one thing. That's different. But it's not the same thing for us to insert our rights. We don't have rights. We're Christians. We are slaves to Jesus Christ, period. And I just want to remind us of that, encourage you, as you gather in worship, do not hold back, ever. Now, we've also gathered to hear the word. Kathy has been praying about this for months. And I just really want you to hear this moment as though the Lord is calling you. This is not a passive interaction. This is the Lord speaking through Kathy and Robin. I don't know if that was supposed to be a surprise, but anyway. Okay? So I'm inviting you, Wes is going to pray, but inviting you to tune your ears to go, God, how do I respond to this message that you're bringing to us? Thank you. Wes?
Can you hear me? God, we open up our hearts to your message at this moment in time. We ask for your spirit to fill up our hearts, your presence, your kingdom to come. We want more of you. We want your will to be done. And we invite you in every way to come and do it. In the name of Jesus Christ. We love you, God, and we bless Kathy's message here. We bless your work in this community. Amen.
Hello. You can hear me? Hi. So much emphasis on my name. Hi, my name is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Fish are friends, not food. I'm very excited about hosting today's conversation, and it's been actually a couple of years since I've had this longing for our church community to have dialogues with various people and groups in our community to explore what faith is and how faith is lived out in their lives through their various roles within and outside the church. And what is it like to live a gospel-shaped life? What is it like to lead a gospel-shaped ministry? How does one integrate faith in the marketplace into everyday work where Jesus is in the center of the world? I'm super grateful for the pastors and the staff to open up a space during today's sermon time to let us use the pulpit for this conversation, and I hope to do this sacred space time, our guest, the justice, and that this conversation will in turn bless you and I as we walk out the life of faith together. So today's guest is a long-term member of this congregation. Some of us know her for less than a year, some a few years, and some a very long time. One of us is married to her. What stands out to me is when I think of her, she leads a life of humility and worship. She's faithful in prayer, a servant leader. She never seeks to be under the limelight. She trusts the Lord. She cherishes the word. She's a friend of Jesus who will tell you the truth and walk through the darkest of times with you. On a lighter note, she did my hair and put the veil on me on my wedding day. She gifted me her girl's baby crib at my baby shower. And she held the little two-year-old Micah in her lap to overcome separation anxiety at Sunday school. And she shared Jesus with Micah from kindergarten through sixth grade. She prayed fervently for me during some of my darkest times. She also gave me a haircut that literally turned heads and created a sensation at work. Let us welcome Robin Quedams. We've agreed that it's okay to take off the mask over here.
That's comforting because it's really distracting. I keep making mistakes at the stores because I can't think. Isn't it hard? But we're getting through it. It's okay. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying how it's weird how my brain works that I feel like I have something on my face so I can't sign my name or I forget my password, my PIN number. It's crazy. But it's just, so should I go like this?
Yeah. Let's move it a little bit up.
All right.
So hi, Robin.
Hi, Kathy.
Guess what? I wore a dress just for you.
Oh.
Because you're very special.
Oh.
I was counting how many years I've known you, and it was kind of frightening. For me, it's been 22 years, which means I have known you since I was 5 years old. For you math geniuses out there, don't try to calculate where we are. We're the Forever 29. So a lot of us know you, but a lot of the young people, especially the millennials, the Gen Zs, don't know you as much or as well as some of us do. So would you mind telling us a little bit about you, where you were born, how many siblings you have, your family, and were you raised a Christian?
I was the same age. Okay, so I was born and raised in Santa Ana, and both my parents were too. So a lot of history, both grandparents. My grandma went to Santa Ana High School, you know, St. Joseph's in the neighborhood. Yeah, so a lot of roots in Orange County. And then what was the other question? Oh, I have two older brothers. And I was not raised in, I didn't go to church as a child. I think my brothers did, they were older. And then but I was raised just with a respect for God. And I think my parents might have assumed I understood God. We celebrated Christmas and Easter and things like that, and they were good citizens and that sort of thing. But I really didn't know the gospel at all. I didn't grow up with it. Yeah.
Okay. So that's, I remember the moment I met Christ and how he changed my life. And that testimony has always been what sustains me whenever I lose my way. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, how did you come to Christ, and what did gospel mean to you, and how did it make sense to you and come alive for you?
This, I want to share this. It wasn't really planned, but I think the Lord really hears our heart. And I was in high school, and I just did something really scary, and I was really afraid to fall asleep. And I prayed. I mean, I probably was 17 years old, maybe. I don't really quite remember. And I asked that, that, you know, if I don't wake up, I just want to be with you, God. And this is how, you know, how clueless I was about the gospel and everything. I heard people say, like, Jesus, Lord, and God. And so that was my Trinity. And so I prayed that. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And then I went on my merry way, and I did wake up, and I did do a lot of crazy things. So I think it took me a long time to realize that and go back to that. I really think the Lord heard that prayer and had an eye on me for a lot of years until, you know, till I was 23 years old, when I really did legitimately, like, you know, consciously accept Christ into my life. And I apologize, I've never really practiced giving my testimony. My testimony rocks, but I don't want to bore you guys either and give detail that I think is really cool that would bore you. But so should I go on, or am I okay?
Yeah, okay. Share with us how you
okay,
came to
so,
Christ.
Okay, so
just a pause. Could I have my jacket back, please?
It's really cool. Okay, so I was trying to better my life, and with like fitness and health and that sort of thing. But I saw, I took anatomy and health. I didn't go to college when I graduated high school. I didn't think I was smart enough to do that. So I went to beauty school, which that's awesome, huh? And then I wanted to kind of understand health and fitness. And so I took classes at Santa Ana College, and my professor in anatomy was very enthusiastic and always referred to the bang, you know. And I didn't even know what the Big Bang Theory was, really, but then he'd say, like, what a creator we have, and he's drawn on the board about the circulatory system and everything, and I thought, wow, I don't really give God much thought. And so I purchased a Bible and started reading through Genesis, and it got a little cloggy, and so I read in through Matthew. And in doing that, I saw the Rainbow Man. Do you guys remember the Rainbow Man? Is ever anybody familiar with this guy? His name is Roland Stewart, and he's in prison now because he went a little crazy. But he shared Jesus in the end zone at football games. And he would hold up a sign, either John 3:3, it was John 3:16. And so I looked that up. And again, like, I was reading the Bible just like maybe someone would want to study Greek mythology or something. It was like, I want to kind of learn about God. And so I went and looked it up. And as you all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I was very convicted that I didn't know I needed salvation, for one thing. And secondly, I couldn't just say, okay, I believe in him, because I didn't know him. So then that was basically a whole quest of getting to know who Jesus is. And yeah, it's pretty cool. And I think my aha moment was when I understood Easter. I think we were driving to a Good Friday service. I got myself to Calvary and to the Vineyard, and that was really good Bible teaching churches for me. I think I did visit a Catholic church. I had a friend, so I went to, I just went everywhere. And I wanted, I remember I wanted just stripped down Jesus. Like, I didn't want to go to Presbyterian or Methodist or any, I didn't understand all that. I just wanted to go to, like, church. Whatever that means. It's so silly because I think it's a denomination. I didn't even know the word denomination. Anyway, so that's where my roots are. With Calvary in the Vineyard.
Awesome. So Easter is when it came alive for you.
Yeah. I think we were driving down to a Good Friday service, and the people I was with, like, kind of had background and were talking about it. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's almost like I had to be walked through it. And I do kind of learn more physically than just reading a book. So I had to walk through it. Like, okay, today is when he, and it just kind of came alive to me. And I realized that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. And he's always been faithful and I've always felt his presence and never, yeah.
Thank you. Some people, when they hear the gospel, they don't think that they need it, and so they reject it. Mm-hmm. Some people, they accept the gospel, they become Christians, and then that pretty much stops there.
Yeah.
There's no growth, no relationship with Christ. And then for some people, they understand the impact and the depth of the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins and took on the punishment that we would have gotten so that we didn't have to. Mm-hmm. And that very constant of reminder of grace and the salvation given to us shapes the life of those who take it deeply. And that's how they live it each and every day. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. So you have been a Christian for a long time. Mm-hmm. You have been in the Sunday service or a church Sunday school director for a long time. Mm-hmm. How has the gospel changed you and continues to change you and shape you?
I don't know. I'm honestly drawing a break because I'm so freaked out that I'm behind a microphone and a thing. I'm really sorry. If I could just pray.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, you know that I don't want to waste these people's time. And I want to share my heart. I want to share what you've done in my life because I'm nothing without you. And so I just want to really bring the focus back to you, Lord, and honor you and give you the glory that is due you in Jesus' name. One of my favorite Bible verses that I learned was I wrote it down and it's out of order. Because I knew I'd be nervous and forget things. But
and it's really cold.
I know. But in Matthew 18, when he says, "Unless you, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And I think being the baby of the family, I always feel like I'm that young kid, even as 57 years old. I still feel like a child often. I still feel like the fool in the room. I still feel I feel like the foolish one, the one that doesn't really know. I'm the one that didn't go to college, you know, and so it always encourages me that the Lord takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And so Sunday school is really a blessing for me to be able to teach that. That's where I learned the Bible because I wanted to present the truth. And for a while we didn't have curriculum and I just read the stories. That really got me in the Word of God. And to present it to children was fantastic because it was just the simplified, this is what Jesus did. Really straightforward. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And you just believe it because God's word is true and I don't have to prove it. It's just God's word is true. And so, that's really That's it for me. That's the truth for me. And even now, even before that, when I was first a believer, thoughts get really confusing in my brain, and so music really helps. And it, at Calvary, they had these worship series called Praise One, and then Praise Two, Praise Three. They had all these praise albums that were really cool, and so I played a lot of music. Worship music was very helpful for me to stay focused, and the Bible. I really love my Bible, and
So what were the greatest challenges and the greatest joy during your 20 plus years of being the children's director?
Well, the greatest joy is probably how it increased my faith and knowledge of the Lord, and to be able to be in Micah's life and in different kids' lives and families' lives. Hold on a second. I think when you asked me these questions, you emailed them to me, was like what some of the burden, what I think, I don't want to say this. I kind of wanted to confess that, like, being in a ministry, it really, you're laid out there. I learned, you know, I had the responsibility of learning the text to teach it and to be authentic and transparent with the children. But at the same time, it got hard at times when, you know, Sunday after Sunday you're doing it, and maybe, you know, volunteers aren't volunteering like you'd like them to. I saw a lot of pride in myself, wherein, you know, people wouldn't help, and I'd be like, I don't need your help, I'm fine, and which is really ugly. And but it did come out for the Lord to heal that, or to, you know, to repent of that. So it's like I wouldn't have known that had I not gone through that. So it's all good. That's where God uses everything for his glory and for our healing and for our growth, leading us in paths of righteousness for his namesake, for his glory. And so he was leading me in paths of righteousness, even though I would get offended and you know, harbor bitterness because somebody said they'd do something and they wouldn't. So when you're in a ministry for that long, there's lots of stuff comes out. And so I'm thankful for it, even though there was like I saw a real ugly side of my heart. I guess that's it.
Yeah. The Lord used that as an opportunity to continue to take you through the refiner's fire,
mm-hmm.
so that you can be bold.
Yeah. So I recommend ministry.
You're here.
It is. It's a great place of accountability with your peers and with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. And I really appreciate what you have shown us during those times, even when you struggled, because you were even authentic in the way you shared your struggles with us. And you know, I've been in ministry for a long time, and I am encountering that pride, that ugliness in me today. It doesn't go away, but the Lord is going to take you through it. And mm-hmm. it is true that if you don't involve yourself in ministry or in a group, you can't be held accountable, and there's nothing to be your mirror to show you this is what it's like to continue to be shaped by the gospel. You know, Christ died for us, so how do we continue to serve,
right,
with that love in our hearts?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to just explore. I know that you are now working in a preschool.
Yes.
Okay. Is it a Christian preschool?
No.
No. Okay. So at your work, how do you relate and connect to your colleagues who are possibly Christians, but mostly non-Christians? How do you live that, knowing that Jesus loves them, but then there are times there's disagreements? How do you reconcile that?
I think that being a Christian, it's your whole self. And as you, you know, it took a time for me to realize that God isn't just a section of my life, and I have these other sections of my life, that God's completely my life. And I don't leave him at home, you know. It's like he's, and so even though I can't share creation in teaching the kids, that's still who I am. And and the Lord has given me opportunities to share with coworkers that are Christians that maybe not be walking with the Lord. And so I've had opportunities to share. And even in that, you know, you're getting paid, but it's still service, and you still get frustrated. And I still show a side of myself of like, wow, I shouldn't have said that. And that's not really Christ-like, or that's not really, you know, just having them see me be real and walk through who I am. So, I guess that.
When times get hard, or you know that it's a humongous obstacle at work, and there's very little influence that you have, what do you do?
I think when there's been situations at work, I work with a lot of women, because it's a preschool. There's one guy. I think of things at church, of how we work things out and how we communicate and have each other's back and serve one another. And so concepts that we have in the church of how we treat each other, I try to bring that to the staff meeting, just because that's what I've learned in our staff meeting. I bring to our staff meetings, you know, and it's kind of I want to stay home, but it's true. It's like this is how you do it. And it's just kind of natural. And they're like, oh, that's a good idea. And it's like, well, yeah, we treat each other, you know, you love your neighbor as yourself. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, so that's kind of how it comes out. Yeah.
So in a way, I see that as Christ shapes us. Mm-hmm. We bring who we are to our staff meetings. Mm-hmm. And then because of that experience of us doing things together, iron sharpens iron, we get mm-hmm. to take that experience and go impact other types of staff meetings out there
right.
that is not Christian-like
right.
and influence it to bring the gospel uh-huh. to those spaces. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the grounding you have in faith. So I know when I think of the time of worship and prayer at church, when I'm up there, you know, with the worship team leading, I see you immediately. You're a symbol of a deep love of worship and prayer. And I know that when times get hard for me to even sing, mm-hmm. all I need to do is to look at you. And I go, okay, keep going. Robin is worshiping. Robin is praying. She's praying out loud. I can keep going because of her. What has led you to be so open? Because you're a fairly shy person, I think. What has led you to be so courageously open to express your love for Christ publicly?
Kathy gave me these questions earlier, but I still don't really know how to answer it. The thing that comes to me, like when I was first a believer, I love the Gospel of Matthew. And what we've been going through in the series, I think we ended up in chapter 5 or 6 about prayer. I love the area in Matthew's gospel, chapter 6 and 7, of not to worry, of ask, seek, and knock. You know, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. I think that's like one of my favorite. Like that's just what I have to do. I can't not do that. That's my lifeline. It's because I don't know the answers. I don't know. And so I just have to press into God. And so that's what I do privately. and it works for me. And so, and even with prayer, sometimes I think where worship comes in is my thoughts can get really scattered. And so worship music really helps ground me and focus me. And my intercessory prayer comes alongside worship music, you know, but not constantly at the same time, but together. Are we okay? Oh. So, and possibly by doing that privately, it's become more natural that when I'm in public, that that's just what I do. And I don't think about it. It's just that when I'm worshiping, I have to enter in, and whether standing or kneeling or just sitting on the floor, I like just sitting on the floor. I feel grounded and close to the Lord. It's my lifeline. It's like breathing. I can't not do that. I would be dead without it. It's my connection. So
thank you for being your lifeline for me to see. It has become my lifeline when I worship, and when I cannot worship, I think about you. So I know that we only have a few more minutes left. So here's the question that I love to hear from you. If today is your last day on earth, this is your last time you get to speak to this congregation and to the kids here, what would you say?
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. He is so faithful. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And trust in him, and don't trust in what you can see, but trust, you know, he makes visible from the invisible. So don't trust what you see, what you look at, but trust in his promises. Trust him just at his word. And it's really interesting you guys played that song, because it's one of my faves and my go-tos of Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just trust in Jesus. And it sounds so silly, but it really is true. He is so faithful. He will not leave you. How much time do we have? Keep going. One of those difficult things I've ever gone through is my mom died at 66 years old of a heart attack. There was no warning, no nothing. I just got a phone call from my dad saying, I lost mom. And I was like, what? You didn't, like, what a dummy. And I raced over there. Anyway, and the Lord, and honestly, before that, I love her so much that I remember saying to somebody, like, yeah, if I ever lost my mom and dad, it's like, hook me up to an IV. Like, I won't be able to stand or walk or talk or anything. That would be so horrible. I don't know how I'd ever get through that. And the Lord sustained me. And I don't know how I did it, because just every step of the way, the Lord shrouded me. And I remember that first Sunday, and no one at church really knew my mom or my relationship with her, so I thought, no one's going to understand what I'm going through, so I'm just going to hide in the back, I'm going to bring my journal. And when the worship end, this is the year that song that comes from Job of, like, he gives and takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord, right? So I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And I was in the back of the church, and I just was drawn to the front of the church, and I had to sit down and just, I couldn't sing, and I felt like a child on their parents' lap, just crying, but yet being held, and my head was against God's chest. And it's so real to me. I hope this makes sense to you and it's encouraging to you. But I honestly, it's just one step. You don't have to figure this out all the way to the end. It's just take one step with Jesus, and then take another step with Jesus, and then take another step with Jesus. And he is with you, and he'll never leave your side. And he did not leave my side. And he completely covered me. And he still does. He's still faithful in that. So I don't, that's just was, that's one of the hugest moments where he was so faithful. I was fearful to come to church, and he met me and covered me and held me together. And he will do that. And he's continued to do that in other things in my life that are seemingly impossible and the worst news you could ever get. But the Lord has walked with me in grace in it. So you can completely trust and completely rely on the Lord. Completely.
Thank you. Did you ever find your testimony on your college application?
I did find it. I kept it in my purse, but do you want to see it?
So Robin was telling me that she was applying for college, and then she needed to write down a Christian college, and she needed to write down her testimony, and she asked her mom to type it up, and it's on the application, and she still has it.
No, it's actually really silly. I did find it, and it'll just make you laugh. This is like how old it's on like that see-through typing paper, and it was Calvary Chapel Bible School. And clearly I didn't send it in. I don't know if I didn't have the $10, because it said $10 with your application. And I literally, you know, it asked me like personal, like, how would you describe yourself? And it just was like, it's just really funny. You don't want to hear it, but I did find it. And
thank you for bringing it.
But I didn't go.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Stay here. Stay here. Yeah. I really appreciate you walking the walk, walking a gospel-shaped life, and you continue to do so year after year. And not only have you been a blessing to me, your story is going to continue to bless our younger generation who are just starting out to serve the Lord in a more official capacity, whether it's at church or in the marketplace. So guys, remember, this is the record. Whatever you do, whatever you write down, however you walk with the Lord, every step of the way, it's cumulative. It becomes your grounding. It becomes what you get to share with others to change them and to lead them through hard times. Thank you once again. Let me just pray for us as we close down this portion of the service. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your son to come and die for us so that we didn't have to. We thank you for the eternal life that we get to have, the hope that we have in Jesus. And I thank you for all these giants like Robin that live in this community and to teach us how to walk the path and how to trust in Jesus, to give us strength and hope and wisdom and understanding to keep going. Father, I pray a blessing over Robin. I thank you for her openness to share her life with us. And I pray for revival for all of us. Lord, if we have not grabbed a hold of what gospel means to us individually, I ask, Lord, that today it will be the day that we are brought back to Jesus, to the love that he has for us, and that we echo back the same love he has for us out to others. Yes, Lord, revival for us. And thank you for today. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the wind. Thank you for this community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, you guys. Thank you.